Antoinette.
Hi, guys.
Thanks for joining us today. A lot's changed since you last been on the podcast.
Been a long time.
I'd say one difference is you now work with us.
Yay!
Which is great. And we have you on today to answer some questions for some things that you commonly have been hearing since we've been working together and since you've been helping out as a pelvic floor PT. And we also have an upcoming program that we'll talk about at the end.
Exciting.
So why should someone see a pelvic health PT during their pregnancy?
So exercise during pregnancy is super important because we can help prevent certain pregnancy-related conditions like gestational diabetes or preeclampsia, which is high blood pressure. Also, it can help improve birth outcomes by working on the pelvic floor and breathing as necessary, and it can also prevent a lot of joint and orthopedic pain, like pubic pain, SI joint, low back pain. Sometimes in the postpartum, women continue to have certain things like urinary leakage or prolapse that happen during pregnancy, which is a really vulnerable time. So it can be really important to work with a therapist to help prevent these things as much as we can.
So now when working with a therapist, what would be the difference between a general PT and an actual pelvic floor PT?
So in PT school, we learn a lot about musculoskeletal neuromuscular system, but we don't learn very much in detail about the specifics of pelvic health and the pelvic floor, which can be really involved with other systems like the GI system, hormones, nutrition, reproductive system. So when you graduate with your doctorate in PT, there's still a lot to learn before you can kind of become really comfortable and you take your continuing education courses in order to get there.
So if someone does not do internal exams, are they still pelvic floor PT?
Well, there's not really great regulation that proves somebody is or is not a pelvic floor physical therapist, unfortunately. But in general, if you are working with a physical therapist on a pelvic health condition who is not doing an internal muscle exam with you, you might be missing a couple really important pieces depending on the training. So it is really important to just ask them kind of where they learned how to treat pelvic health.
So it's more of like something that you do after you become a physical therapist. You take additional courses and training and learn how to do that as a separate thing.
Exactly. I did do a clinical while I was in school, but that's kind of just getting your feet wet, getting started.
Okay. So in addition to, you know, things that you've been seeing during pregnancy and why it's important to work with somebody, why is it that someone should work with you before, but not, and maybe even after? Like, what are the kind of things that helps if you have it earlier in the process?
Oh, I like to see women starting somewhat early during pregnancy. I would say if they can get in the first trimester, that's great, or even early second trimester. It tends to be before they have had a lot of long-lasting pain. It might be the time where they start to have pain and you can start modifying things so that as things get heavier and as tissue becomes a little bit more lengthened during pregnancy, they'll already have the strategies as activities get a little bit more challenging.
What have you noticed too? So after, you know, people give or women give birth, what's happening after the fact?
So after women give birth, their tissues have been lengthened quite a bit because of hormonal changes, and also their uterus, which used to just be filled with this big, huge baby, is not there anymore. So it can feel like this big placeholder is gone that used to be in your center, and now you have all these lengthened muscles. So things can sometimes not feel great when you return back to your previous activity, and a lot of the time we hear about things like abdominal muscle separation or a diastasis, prolapse, incontinence. These are basically all pressure management issues. So if we start working on those things while the baby is in there, while the woman maybe has some better sensation of the muscles in that area, you can really make a big difference to prevent what we can and also set them up for a great rehab when they deliver and following.
Awesome. And then I guess if someone doesn't know about pelvic PT prior and they want to come afterwards because they are running into these issues, what happens if they don't address the issues?
Very often, if they don't address the issues, a lot of it does not go away on its own. We'd like to think that it does because women are very busy when they're postpartum and their life just changed and there's a whole lot on their mind. But research shows about 8 to 12 weeks out, if you're having pelvic pressure and there's maybe a prolapse or a diastasis, what hasn't improved on its own from doing nothing is probably not going to just improve on its own. At that point, you really do need rehab, and the American College of Obstetrics and Gynecology recommends at that point that your obstetric provider should be referring you to rehab if you're still having that stuff a couple months out.
When women are pregnant, is there a difference between the different trimesters and what amount of activity they should be doing?
So it does vary a little bit person to person. It's going to depend on what they were doing before pregnancy and after, kind of what do they want to get back to. Are they having anything going on that's bothering them or that they're feeling? So I will guide them through all that. But some general guidelines I would say is first trimester, pretty much across the board, contact sports will be contraindicated. So anything where you might fall or somebody might run into you, or you're on unlevel ground and you're running and you might trip, any situation like that definitely is not a good time to do that during pregnancy. Some places that we tend to start modifying early would be things like end range, bouncing movements, and a lot of high reps of heavy type of impact. That stuff, first trimester, we'll be talking about that. Second trimester starts to be a lot more about pressure control, because this is when pressure control starts to become a little bit more challenging, and that lack of control can really contribute to a lot of those conditions that we were just covering a little bit. Again, it's going to vary based on what the woman can show me that she can do without symptoms, looking good. Certain positions that we'll avoid once we get about near that halfway mark. We're not going to spend a whole lot of our time on our back and things like that. And then third trimester, by then, oftentimes you have to modify anything that's single leg, depending on if the woman's having some joint pain. And then running is another good one. So running is not medically contraindicated. It's not dangerous for somebody that has a lot of experience running per se. However, it is quite a bit of impact. You land on one leg at a time and it's repeated impact. So in terms of thinking about just from a physical therapy standpoint and a rehab standpoint, things are heavy and our tissues and ligaments are vulnerable. So the third trimester is a time where we'll be talking a lot about modifications for that for most women.
Could you explain pressure control and what that means and give us a little guideline of how do you manage that in that second trimester?
Sure. So pressure control is really about getting the correct muscles in the correct sequence at the right time to be engaged. So during pregnancy, your abdominals and your pelvic floor are taking a lot of weight and a lot of pressure already. So if we're somebody that has a habit of picking up a heavy barbell or something like that, taking a deep breath in and holding, kind of like closing our throat and then pushing through the rep to move the weight. That's not great for pressure control, for preventing those conditions, and pregnancy is a really tough time for that. So pretty much always if I see someone doing Valsalva maneuver, I'll try to guide them out of that and see how their muscles are working with them as they breathe.
And when would a woman know when to modify?
So generally, any time that an exercise has you feeling pelvic pressure, urinary leakage, loss of gas, or sort of a queef, like gas goes in and out somewhere, orthopedic pain, if your abdominals feel like they're pulling or coning or invaginating inward, and then any time that you cannot any longer do an exercise with the right form. So for instance, if you are pregnant and you're having to lift something over your belly and you're not using great form anymore, that would just be a time to find a modification. So I walk women through a lot of those things and recognizing when to feel them, because a lot of the time we're not always told what's normal and not normal, especially during pregnancy with exercise. So I have found a lot of women start having some of this stuff go on during pregnancy, and they return postpartum to their exercise, keep having the stuff, keep pushing through it, and decades actually go by quite a bit. So I think if we kind of work on this stuff right during pregnancy, where we're very vulnerable to it, that's great for prevention.
This is something I hear thrown out pretty often, is my doctor just said to keep doing what I'm doing and just listen to your body. So tell us, based on those modifications that you mentioned, like how would that look like for somebody if they are pretty athletic and, you know, are in a regular exercise program that involves a barbell? Just give us maybe like a brief example of like maybe some things that you commonly see in an exercise class, and like how they can think about modifying that thing when they're in their second and third trimester. And you can kind of go on some of those movements that we have listed there.
Sure. Yeah. So quite a bit of the time, because exercise is very important during pregnancy, most providers recognize that. The ACOG recognizes that and recommends it as well. However, just like you said, listen to your body is kind of usually the extent of the education that most women get. So for a woman who is used to lifting really heavy things and doing a lot of pull-ups, cartwheels, running, things like that, it's kind of doesn't mean very much to say listen to your body. It probably feels good for them to do those things. So as far as things like running and jump rope, like we kind of touched on that a little bit, it's not really medically dangerous, but from just a PT standpoint, thinking about what happens with your body, what happens with pressure, what happens with ligaments during that time, it might be a good thing to become conservative with as the pregnancy progresses. Certainly, you want to avoid any of those symptoms that we just talked about before. It's definitely more of a risk-reward thing rather than a black and white, this is allowed, this is not, as far as impact and running. With barbells, a big thing to watch out for is form just has to be really good, because as soon as you're struggling to get that barbell over your stomach and you're sort of using other compensations to do that, you could, for one, hurt yourself, and two, it can be really harder to retrain good form when you're postpartum if during pregnancy you kind of adapted this poor form. Movements with a lot of momentum, generally, I don't think they're great during pregnancy. Again, it comes down to what the woman can demonstrate really great control with. But as far as something like kipping movements, that's generally something I'd recommend to just kind of table until postpartum. Heavy impact we can talk about. So during the first trimester, you want to modify the intensity right away once you find out somebody is pregnant. So in other words, you want them to give about 70% effort maximum, and that's somebody who's pretty comfortable with exercise. Nobody needs to be pushing their heart rate as high as they possibly can and gasping for breath during pregnancy. So with impact, that's something that's going to drive your heart rate up quite a bit. It can lead to some central nervous system fatigue, especially during pregnancy. So that would be something to either modify, take it out, or just kind of shorten the sets of it, depending on the woman's previous exercise level.
Could you or anybody explain what central nervous system fatigue is?
I'd say the easy way to think about it is as you are continuously doing repetitive movements, or when you're working out, you're having to maintain form, it gets more difficult to do as there's more demand or stress on your system. So as like your cardiorespiratory output increases, it gets harder and harder to maintain form because you have other things going on in your body. And I think that you have a lot more, I guess you could say, noise that you're having to contend with as you're trying to maintain correct form, and also breathing tempo, creating pressure.
That's great. And then another thing about that too, with the central nervous system fatigue, with doing a lot of high reps of impact and plyometrics and things like that, is that it can be really fatiguing. So if you didn't sleep well the night before, it's not a great day to do that as an exercise, like box jumps. Also, you don't really need to do it every day. Like 2 to 3 times a week tops, if that's something that's one of your goals, maybe.
I'd say that goes for just regular activity too. So like central nervous system fatigue is something that we should probably always look out for throughout a training program too. So it doesn't necessarily only affect women who are pregnant. I think that's something that we should always consider in just a regular exercise program as well.
Like when people say like they feel like they're not recovered type thing, and they're not sleeping well, and they're maybe over training.
Yeah, and then going back to just to clarify some of the barbell stuff that you talked about. So like you mentioned, the path of a barbell when you're showing, or you could say like have a different stomach than maybe you used to, it's definitely challenging to recreate that system because your body's always trying to figure out where that middle point is when you're doing barbell work. So when we talk about barbell work, that's more specifically in Olympic lifting with snatches and clean and jerks. So just as something to consider as you're going through that, that if you're an Olympic lifter, your bar path and how close it is to your body is absolutely probably one of the most important things that you're always trying to look for. So if you're doing this for, like Dr. Antoinette said, for maybe 9 months of your career, that 9 months is very challenging to go back to when you don't have that same body. So it's just like she asked, ask yourself, is this something that I should risk my career in weightlifting, or is this something that I can hold off for a short period of time and then come back to it?
Well, plus two, with how particular some of those skill sets are, where people will spend, like they'll take a small part of the lift and they'll work on improving their skill within that one segment of the lift. If you have a larger stomach and the woman's trying to learn to compensate by pulling the barbell around their belly, they're going to start learning that this is the way that I'm doing this lift. And then when they're no longer pregnant, they're going to be throwing the bar more forward because they're just used to doing that from a, you know, like a skill standpoint. Like that's the new way that I've learned to do this movement. And you're going to have to unlearn that after that point.
Good point.
So what if someone we're talking about a little bit more significant exercise with some experience? So what if somebody who doesn't have a lot of experience working out, what does that entail for someone who's pregnant?
So working out during pregnancy is really important for everyone, unless sometimes if there's a medical condition or there's a specific reason for you that your doctor has recommended you to take some precautions. But other than that, working out during pregnancy is super important both for maternal and the baby's outcomes. So for people that don't have experience working out, it is okay to start working out, and we build you up slowly, progressively, and while we monitor your vitals, your response to the workout. So we definitely design an individual program based on where you're coming from, where you're starting, where you want to go. I would say in general, pregnancy is not really a time where you need to be learning how to catch barbells overhead if that's not something that you're familiar and comfortable with. But there's something for everybody, and there's lots of modes of exercise, so it's really important.
Do you often get asked, will I hurt the baby?
Yes. That tends to be a concern for people, maybe first-time moms especially, too, that they worry if they exercise or they do a certain exercise, they could do some damage. There's no research that shows exercise as a cause of miscarriage at all. In fact, it's been shown to help birth outcomes. But in general, contact sports and anything where you think you're going to fall, I would say that's the risk right there, is that if you fall, you could hurt yourself or potentially hurt the baby. So it's just a matter of selecting exercises that are safe. So like football or downhill skiing, probably not really the time to do those.
How about more of like the dynamic type activity? So CrossFitters do a lot of like kipping, or they do a position or something where they hold a position, and then they either push weight above their head or push themselves off the floor. How about something like that?
So in general, I don't like to do a lot of exercises with momentum too far into pregnancy. It's really a time to focus on the slow control of movements, and you can definitely make things harder depending on the speed and the modifications that you do, but just making the type of exercise a little bit safer. So for instance, instead of kipping, you could still do something that's like a strict pull-up, as long as you're showing good good support in the front and you're not having any of those symptoms that we talked about. What can be dangerous during pregnancy would be overexertion. So more rest breaks are going to be needed. You're not really trying to work at your 100% per se. So overexertion is where things could get not safe. Generally, for somebody that's pretty fit, I'd recommend like 70% of what you can do.
There's a lot of stuff about the core and how people think about core exercises, and you know they want to prevent and still work on their core during pregnancy. But are there any exercises or movements that you tend to stay away from because of the risk that might be involved?
With the core specifically, well, thinking about the integrity of the ligaments and thinking about how the pelvic floor and our deep abdominals work together, it's not really a time where I'd recommend a lot of exercises laying on your back, where you might be doing abdominal exercises where you're bearing weight down. That's really important. So it all really comes down to breath control quite a bit. And I know that during the second half of pregnancy, we won't be spending a whole lot of time on our backs anyway. But I will check the abdominals and see how they're recruiting. And also during kind of the second half of pregnancy, you can really see how their abdominals recruit, because you can see it right from their side. Their belly kind of draws in if they're breathing correctly. So we just check for all that, and it might vary a little bit woman to woman.
So just ask, sit-ups, toes to bar, toes, or knees to raises, like what kind of things are those when people are going through pregnancy?
So any of those that use momentum, like kipping, not probably a huge fan during pregnancy. Toes to bar, no, that's going to be difficult to have great control with. So those are not places I would probably recommend starting with.
And would they be able to prevent something like a diastasis recti, which is a separation in the front of their abs, or a prolapse?
So great question. In physical therapy during pregnancy, we work really hard to prevent those things. We manage pressure the best way that we can, and if there's any signs that pressure is not being managed well, we talk about that really in depth so that the woman can be pretty confident knowing when to back off during her workout. We teach a lot of preventive strategies that can help with it and protect your deep core from having those kind of issues, but it does have to be just a little bit individual. It's person to person. There's a big genetic component to our tissue laxity. So with diastasis, almost 100% of women are going to have one during pregnancy by the end of it. So there might be a little bit of normalcy to that, in fact. But the more that we work on it during pregnancy, especially when you can really feel the weight on those muscles, that can be really helpful and set you up to rehab that properly and not have to struggle with it years later.
Yeah, I think it's a big point, too. When you're able to feel that sensation throughout, it sets you up because you have essentially found where that control is. And that's what we call motor control, right? So if you're not unable to feel those things or have a good sense of control or overall recruitment, that's actually a lot of the problems we see in, you know, not even just in pregnancy, but with people who have low back pain, people who have hip issues, people who have just like overall injuries to whatever body part you mentioned. It's really about the ability to control and recruit those muscles at the correct time and appropriately. So, I mean, there's a lot of parallels, I think, from pelvic health and where you're seeing pregnancy and postpartum to the actual people we see with regular musculoskeletal problems with, you know, back pain, sciatica, shoulder pain, knee pain, ankle pain, you name it.
You have a lot of really great points in there, multiple of which I would like to branch off and talk more about. Yeah, so I really like that. Another question I have got in the past is, why would a pregnant person need to work out? They're not going to be pregnant forever. But that's part of sort of what you just said. They really have that great awareness and proprioception as compared to what they're going to have fresh postpartum with their core. So starting and sort of nipping it in the bud during pregnancy, if they start having some joint pain, that's really the time to do it. And we know, working with people with pain too, if you leave somebody with pain not moving for, you know, 6 months, then how does it look? Then it's going to be much more difficult. So that is really important. And then the other thing that you kind of touched on with that motor control is really the probably most important aspect of the core and how it works. So there is sort of a misconception out there with the pelvic floor and the abdominals that you should just squeeze them. And if you squeeze them, they will just get strong because you're squeezing and kegling all day. But that's really not how the pelvic floor works. The pelvic floor works based on endurance and coordination. So your ability to breathe and have that pelvic floor move with you and then give you a great rebound when you go and exert yourself, that's really its job. So sometimes sitting in a chair kegling for hours, that's really not going to change what happens when you lift something heavy or when you go for a run or when you sneeze.
Because it's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing at all, no.
I think another point to bring up, to bring those parallels from pelvic floor and abdominal contraction to what we see in just regular orthopedic stuff, is the contract and relax portion of muscles. So we typically hear that, right? A muscle should contract and then it should also relax. Mm-hmm. Like in strength and conditioning world, we just think about, I need to contract to get strong. Right, that's just a big misconception. But the relaxation is actually just as important, because that's what actually creates elastic energy. So if you think about, if we're stiff as we can when we land, is that going to create absorption of force? Most likely not, right? We have to rely on our muscles to contract and relax equally. So that's, a nice parallel that I always like to draw between pelvic health and everything that we do and we see in regular musculoskeletal stuff.
I love that.
So what can a PT do to help prepare a woman for delivery?
So with this new program that we're actually going to talk about in a minute, and I'm excited, I spend the last session talking just about sort of birth planning. Where are you delivering? Who's going to be there? What are your concerns? We talk a little bit about the potential for birth injuries and how does positioning and how do certain medications and your bearing down technique, how do all these things kind of tie in and relate to how your delivery is going to go? So it's really important for education. And sometimes I'll put women in positions that they have as options to deliver, and I'll watch how they breathe and I'll watch how their pelvic floor moves. I don't do internal work during pregnancy, but I certainly can still look and I can palpate and I can help bring some awareness to them.
Can we talk about birthing positions? Because I think of what I ever see, I see on movies, and it's typically someone's lying down and they're pushing, and that's pretty much how you can birth. I didn't know that there's other positions. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah. So the truth is that there's pros and cons to every position. Generally the worst positions for birth injuries are things where you're at end range and you are restricting joint mobility. So if you think of your pelvis and how much it moves, it's probably the tailbone that gets most of the movement, right, and all those joints. So when you lay on your back, your tailbone's not moving. If your knees and your hips are bent up and out, that's pretty in range for somebody that already has quite a bit of ligamentous laxity. But there, the benefits of that position are it can be really good for monitoring things medically. So there's a, definitely there's some importance to it as well. But in a situation like, say, where somebody's assisting and maybe there's two people holding somebody's hip up to their chest, that might have the potential for some birth-related nerve injuries and things like that. Another one that can be problematic for people is anything that's asymmetrical. So if you're somebody that has that pubic pain during pregnancy, you're probably not going to want to give birth in, like, say, a lunge position or something like that. So it really depends on how the woman feels, how she's felt during her pregnancy, which positions are going to make sense to talk about. But also, it depends where you give birth to. Sometimes just where you are is going to determine how the position that you're allowed to use.
So overall, going through everything that we just spoke about, it seems like the beginning to an end of a program. And that's why we decided to make that a program so that we can start when a woman's becoming pregnant or maybe even before, and then end with actually talking about birth planning. So we can help guide one through the whole gambit of that.
And I'd like to add, too, that there's a large gap between 0 to 6 weeks postpartum. And that's where I think we're trying to make this more normal, that seeing a pelvic floor physical therapist should be part of everybody's birth plan. And that's where we want to make sure that this is ideally that everybody in the country is following this as part of something that you're going through. And it should be just like a checkup that you would your 6 week checkup with your OBGYN or your midwife or your medical checkup.
And in some countries, it already is.
And I think that's where we just, and it doesn't matter where you go, we just think that you should have this so you have a really solid foundation, right? You just had something huge happen to you, and it was for 9 months, and then let's say it's a year of overall recovery, regardless of how you gave birth and your birth experience. This is a very crucial time that your body is changing, it's adapting, you're breastfeeding, you have hormones, you're becoming a mom. You're becoming a parent, and your roles are changing, and there's a lot to navigate, and we're here to help you navigate the process.
I love that. And you brought up another good point, too, that a postpartum PT evaluation should be routine, just like your OB-GYN check is. So I think it's really important to establish that those are two very different but very important things. So when your OB-GYN sees you after you deliver, she's looking to see that you're safe, you're healing, you don't have an infection. There's not something like that that's happened as a result of you giving birth where they have to intervene with. For physical therapy, we are looking more at your coordination of muscles, your pressure control, all those things that we talked about. By week six, it's going to entail also an internal muscle exam for women who are agreeable with that. And with that, what I do is use one finger internally, usually just past my second knuckle, and I put my finger on both sides of the pelvic floor muscle so I can check for certain birth injuries that sometimes are not always caught by feeling the bulk of the muscle. I can check for things like pain. And if you did have a birth injury, like a tear or something like that, we can get started right away with rehabbing that. I'll also check for a diastasis and see how the woman is doing with any pain, if she's having orthopedic pain at that point. So two totally different appointments that look at very separate things. So it's to do a good job and take comprehensive care of your postpartum self, that's the way to do it.
So our program is called, I don't think we mentioned, it's BirthRx. Can you tell us more about what that entails? And
yeah, so BirthRx is going to be a program in which I see a pregnant woman from somewhere early in her pregnancy, like maybe first trimester or early second, and then it's a set of appointments divided into either 8 or 12 appointments. And I work with her on educating her on the changes depending on what trimester she's at. sort of what she's learning about and finding about her body, any questions that come up along the way, because there are a lot of questions. I'll monitor her for any changes. It's kind of another touch point in case there needs to be a call to the doctor, anything changed that we're concerned about. And then keeping them active, and keeping them active in a safe way where we're not promoting things like urinary leakage and prolapse and diastasis, things like that. So then that last appointment during pregnancy is the day where we're going to talk about birth planning, positions, pelvic floor mobility, get started working on that. And then I will see the woman again postpartum. So there are a couple of sessions that are after the baby's delivered, the first one of which will usually entail the pelvic floor muscle exam. And then from there, we talk a lot about what her goals are, what she wants to get back to. So we use the remainder of our sessions to see where she is in those goals, see what she's ready for and what she's not, and prepare her for healing and getting back toward her prior level.
And if there's any other questions or hitches that come up along the way, we've also been working on building a referral network depending on what is needed. So we have dietitians we can refer to, lactation consultants, we have other specialists that we can reach out to if we need other set eyes as well.
This is a very important point. I feel like I say this all the time, is that with pelvic health conditions, pregnancy, postpartum, and other, oftentimes there's more than one system involved. So it does take a team. It's not really one of those things that one provider has every answer to, or that you can Google and fill in the blanks. It really does take a team. So we are trying to build that great team as best we can, and we're working on it.
Don't forget to add that mental health as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So if anyone has any questions, they can feel free to reach out to us. We'll have our information in the show notes.
We're excited to launch the BirthRx.
Thanks for listening. Very excited.
We'd like to thank you for listening to La Vida Las Vegas podcast. We hope you enjoyed the time with our guest as much as we did. It would help us out so much if you could share, subscribe, or review our podcast, or any combination of the three. Thanks again, and remember to take care of yourself.